Shalom, friends. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, Jake Rubin. Welcome to MSU Hillel's The Weekly Kvetch. This podcast features news, interviews, and a whole lot of kvetching. So, I'm excited for you to join me and my trusty producers, Sophie and Nate, as we dive deep into all things Jewish.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Weekly Kvetch. I remain your host, Jake Rubin, and alongside my producers, Sophie, Nate, and MSU Hillel, we are super excited to bring you an awesome episode this week because we have the Jewish rapper, Kosha Dills, here. So thank you for joining us today. Very exciting.
It is. It is an exciting, what an intro.
Yeah. Hopefully Jewish it did you justice. Yeah. You know, there's many, but you're the Jewish rapper.
I think that is. It's good to know there are many.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. Before we get started, we have a quick word from our sponsors. So let's hear it.
The Weekly Kvetch is sponsored by MSU Hillel, the place to be for more than 3,500 Jewish students at MSU. The Weekly Kvetch is also sponsored by trees. Go hug or kiss a tree.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, sponsors. All right. And now we're going to move on to the next section of our podcast. Let's give them something to kvetch about. Let's give them
something. Kvetch. Kvetch. Kvetch.
So, Sophie, what are we going to be talking about today? Not kvetching.
Yes, we're not kvetching today because today, as in January 27th. Yes, we record early. I don't just record like an hour before I upload and it magically comes all together. So today, for those who do not know, is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And on this day, we remember when was it the Allies, like Russia and like other of the good countries went into the concentration camps such as Auschwitz-Birkenau and freed the prisoners that were there. So yeah, very important that we remember the Holocaust and all of the 6 million Jews and plus others that perished during World War II. Never again. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think right now it's very important to talk about because we're living in a period of time where the last generation of survivors are starting to pass away. And so now more than ever, it's important to listen to their stories and to hear firsthand. If you have any grandparents that, you know, are survivors, I think, you know, it's important to talk to them about it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a difficult conversation, but you should hear it firsthand while you still can, because we're starting to run out of time. Which is the sad thing.
Mm-hmm. I read some guy's story on Twitter during class. Don't go on social media during class, but I was because I wanted to. So I was like reading this guy's story, and it's like nice to have these stories like readily available on the internet, like some on Twitter and stuff like that. And sometimes I'll watch like YouTube videos of survivors telling their stories because I find it so interesting.
You know, one thing I think that's really interesting too is I've often heard from people that, oh, well, no, we don't celebrate it in January. We celebrate in April. And what's the difference? And so I think it's also really cool. Or it's important to talk about here that today is, so Sophie was right. So today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's the day that Auschwitz-Birkenau was liberated, which is sort of seen as like the end of the war because, it was the largest. It was sort of like the central command. But then in Israel, they've designated sometime in April. So this year it is April 9th as it's called Yom HaShoah. It's the day of the Shoah, of the Holocaust. And that's not a specific event. That's overall remembering all the people who have perished, as well as remembering, you know, the atrocity that this was. So I think it's also really important that we remember that it's so much more than just posting on social media. It's exactly. Going to, you know, it's going to the archives to listen to a story. It's, you know, doing research. It's learning about a concentration camp that's not super well known. So everyone knows Auschwitz. People know Bergen-Belsen, you know, we know the Plaja work camp, but what about some others? Because every person that not only went through those camps, but also every person who passed in those camps, who were murdered in those camps, like that is where their body was left. So it's not necessarily that their memory was left there. We hope that their memory has been, you know, lived on, but let's learn as well about just the sheer number of people and not let that be a number, but instead let that be an important reminder of this history that's happened.
Yeah. Having been to Auschwitz-Birkenau, like my senior year of high school, I took my senior spring break trip there. And just thinking about the amount of people and just walking around the premises of Auschwitz-Birkenau, it was crazy. Like, just to wrap your head around like the number of people who were there, the number of people who died there, and then you being able to walk there and freely walk out afterwards was such a blessing, because there was like a million something people that didn't get to do that.
Exactly. And there are some really good resources in the state of Michigan. In West Bloomfield, there is a Holocaust Memorial Center. I'm not sure if it's still open due to COVID. It is open. Nate's nodding. So I go check it out. If you haven't been there, it's one of the better ones in the country. There are some really good resources, really good pictures. I highly suggest you go there. Lots of the people who volunteer there, they're all very knowledgeable. I've been there many times. I went through Hebrew school. I went on my own. I brought friends there who didn't really know a lot about it. And so do your part, educate somebody, educate yourself, do research, listen to survivors, educate a friend, let them know the importance of today and this week and why Jews and non-Jews are sharing these things on Instagram and on Facebook. And it's more than just sharing, it's educating yourself and learning and understanding the context of why this happened and what we can do to prevent it again. We say never forget because we never want this to happen again. This is something, history repeats itself, but if we remember this and we never let go of this, we can hopefully prevent it from ever happening again in the future.
Another resource I think that's worth sharing is there's this project. It's called the Paperclips Project. And some people have heard about this, but basically what it was is a group of middle schoolers in a small town, like a really, really rural town in Southeast Tennessee. We're learning about the Holocaust, which is, first of all, it's amazing in the first place that that was happening, but they were learning and they couldn't quite understand what 6 million looked like because there's only like 2,000 people in their town. And so what they did is they launched this project where they would collect a paperclip, which has like a significant meaning as well when it comes to the Holocaust, but they would get a paperclip for every person. And what ended up happening is they ended up receiving from people around the world, like 45 million paperclips, and they bought a train car that was used in the Holocaust to transport people to camps. And they bought it. They put it on the grounds of the middle school and they filled it with all their paper clips. And so it's amazing. You can go there and you can like tour and learn. And so I've actually been 3 times and it's super cool. Not only just to see that, like, this doesn't just affect Jews, right? Like, this doesn't just affect Jewish people who might have a grandparent who's a Holocaust survivor, or might know someone who has a grandparent who's a Holocaust survivor, but this affects everyone because it's collectively, it's an atrocity of this world, not just of a specific group of people. So Paperclips Project, you can just Google it. There's a documentary that I would recommend.
Well, it's more important now than ever to never forget the importance of the Holocaust and how it still carries over into today's society and how we never want to forget these. We always want to pass on these stories that we hear because soon, very soon, we're going to be part of the only people that have heard these stories directly. And now we're going to be a secondary source. So collect these stories, keep listening to people, constantly keep growing, keep learning, keep educating. There's so much more we can do. It's always sad to talk about, and it's never a fun subject, but it's one that needs to be talked about. So that's our little piece about Holocaust Memorial. So Kosha, for those who might not know who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So my name is Rami Matan Evanesh, but I perform under the name Kosha Dills. Been at it for over 10 years. I toured all around the world. I came up as an underground rapper. Got the name Kosha Dills from a pickle jar, changed the name to KD Flow because I didn't really like people making fun of me because of the Jewish thing. Went through a little bit of incarceration, drug addiction. When I decided to get clean and got out of jail for the last time, I had gone to Rutgers University and I changed my name back from KD Flow to Kosha Dills and started just really strong with my identity. Nothing about it was Jewish. There's a lot of Jewish references in the music and just started rapping everywhere I could. It was my full-time thing. And my job was to like stay out of jail and just rap and stay clean, and done that successfully now for about 16 years. And been all around the world. Just became a pundit on Israel, on all things Jewish, on things anti-Semitism within hip hop culture. And I've collaborated with everyone from Modest Yahoo to, you know, Macklemore, ASAP Rocky. Just, you know, I was in a BET Awards with Kendrick Lamar and RZA, first guy to walk down on the red carpet with a yarmulke on. I sort of represent Jewishness, more Jewish than anyone else. Yet also not even that Jewish compared to like most of the people we probably all know, you know? So Kosha Dills is sort of this character that's like, the rap games, I'm a Jew and what are you going to do about it? Kind of character. If I can put it bluntly. Yeah.
No, I think that was really, really well put. It's kind of just like you're here and people are just going to have to get used to it.
Exactly.
But you're exactly. But so you're here, you're out here making music. What would you say are some of your, some Jewish maybe influences you've had and some non-Jewish influences, and how's that shaped you into the artist that you are today?
Well, I mean, if I come back from like the music that I think it's really important to note like who, you know, now if there's a young white kid at Michigan State trying to rap, he could always be like, oh, Mac Miller's my inspiration. He passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started rapping, or Lil Dicky, or, you know, when I started rapping, there was something that was really popular in underground rap was like horrorcore. So there were these two Jewish guys that I knew. One guy was named Necro. And I mean, it's kind of like gore rap. It's like, you know, have sex with a dead corpse. Like it was a really popular thing. Like having sex with like dead corpse or something like that would be like, oh wow, he like killed him, you know what I mean? It's like zombie. Like my first song was chainsaw music, so it was like that. The lyrics back then were just, that was what was cool. Now like kids are talking about like sipping lean, but like at a time that was happening, I was talking like 2003 2004. So there was some Jewish guys doing it that were sort of like Jewish gangsters, and that's what they were like Bugsy Siegel meets like Zionism, maybe, sort of like that. I couldn't even explain. And it was so the least Jewish guy, you know, it was the Jewish guy that hangs out with all the Italians. And it's coming from like New York, New Jersey area. So that's like a popular topic, right? That sort of, it was that. And then it was Modest Yahoo. And that's all there was. So there was nothing else as far as rap. And then sort of there was like more after this happened, there were some nerdier raps like MC Paul Barman. So I was sort of sourced of like, this is what I had to work with as far as like Jewish inspiration. And I sort of like, because I was coming from like a background of like drug dealing for like 4 years, that's like what I was like inspired by. Like I wanted to be the Jewish guy in the movie Goodfellas that like was with like all the Italian wives, and like he was like but somehow I don't know, he was like the Jewish guy, you know what I mean? He's like in all the mob movies, it's like the one Jewish guy they roll with. And that was sort of my goal. Then when I started touring with Modest Yahoo, I sort of kind of opened up and I went to like a yeshiva, and I started like the source of like inspiration became like more like Hasidus and yeshiva, and like started just references of stuff. Like I couldn't tell a proper story because I was so, I want to say ADD. I wasn't really like diagnosed, but I mean, at this point, like I was rapping, somehow going to yeshiva, delivering pizza, and like just doing these weird Jewish programs where they would sometimes pay you to like study. It's like circa 05, 06, 07. And then, you know, realizing since I'm Israeli, and some people started telling me to rap about, you know, Israel. And they're like, do this. Okay, do this. And you're like, all right. And you're like, you want to play? You have any songs about Israel? And you're like, no. And you're like, why don't you make something like this? And you're like, okay, you know, and we'll pay you. And, you know, you could play these Jewish organizations. So they're like, all right, cool. You know, I mean, I was like literally figuring out what I was going to do with my life. I couldn't get a regular job, even though I had a college degree. And it's something I still deal with to like this day. So I just sort of fell into this world of just being proud of who I was. And then sort of, you know, the collaborations of, I wanted to always bridge together the world of rap, the world of underground rap with the world of like religious Judaism, which is a basically impossible task, right? Because you're asking the bodega to share a room with like the machitza, you know what I'm saying? And then you're just like, how are these two next to each other? And that's sort of like my vision was always to like bring those things together. And it's like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like one of those fun games you play that's impossible, but you continue to play the game because you'll never win. And that's sort of like, but I am winning because I've still been doing it. So I'm still trying, you know, and I believe that's where we're at now, you know, with, you know, how the world is operating politically and, you know, just in America specifically. So.
So that was a really good answer.
I don't know. I mean, that's how I explain to it.
No,
it's like,
it's how you kind of, you know, it's kind of like, it's cool. Cause the way that you talk is kind of like musically a little bit where it's like, kind of like I can still kind of hear it in just in your inflection, which is really a cool little thing. I don't even know if you realize you do it. I think it's really interesting. It's kind of like poetry almost.
Well, I mean, I grew up on Nas and Wu-Tang, and I was always the Jewish guy at the rap shows. And next thing you know, when you toured with Modest Yahoo, it was like all Jews. So I went from no Jews to all Jews. And then next thing you know, like some Jews started to like explore my stuff and be like, wow, like, let's go see him. And then I started seeing like the mix of cultures and seeing like how there's so much of a gap. And I'm like, wow, I really love that I could just operate. Not everyone could do that. You know, some people, like, they go to one place and that's it. And then I realized that I started listening to like Israeli music and religious Jewish music. And after Modest Yahoo started performing, there was a burst into the Jewish music scene. And there was something called J-Dub. And they started releasing Jewish music. And there was like, I mean, because you guys are at Hillel's. Hillel's were bringing in music and people couldn't afford Modest Yahoo. So there was like, yeah, well, let's get something like him. And that was like a big pitch because it was like, we don't have $80,000 to bring this superstar. But hey, Koshy Dills will come for like, I don't know, 2,500, but like, let's get him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's only like 50 of us here, you know? And that's what sort of started happening. And you saw like all these offspurs. I mean, I remember meeting Mac Miller, like 09, 2010, and he was like number one artist in the world. I remember doing shows with Lil Dicky. He wasn't the biggest artist in the world. And then he was the biggest artist in the world. And I, you know, you just, a Jewish journey is very complex, as you guys all know at Hillel. I mean, it's certainly, there's people that come in one way and they leave another way.
Exactly. So you talk about kind of like your relation to Judaism and rapping, but it kind of goes a little bit further because you also rap in Hebrew too. So what is that like for you, incorporating both English and Hebrew into your raps? And like, what are some of the challenges that come with mixing languages like that?
It's so funny. Like, you know, most of my biggest successes in music have been songs that people don't know what it's about or like they can't even understand it. I had this song Spanhebrish, which was Spanish, Hebrew, English, and like it sounds cool, and hip hop is very, if it sounds good, it's good, you know. You don't even have to kind of understand everything what's saying. And then if you don't come from hip hop, some people will say, I don't like hip hop, I don't understand what they're saying. So I started sort of play on these ideas that, why does it even matter what I'm saying? Just watch what I'm doing and watch who's looking and watch who's listening. And the powerful thing about rapping in Hebrew, when no one speaks Hebrew, is that, you know, you realize that some of the biggest music in the world is, you know, this world music scene. People don't understand what anyone's saying. I mean, the group AWA from Israel sings in like Yemenite in Israel, and they're like one of the biggest groups there. No one understands what they're saying. But, you know, if people like it, then why would you not do it? And what I learned is that people like it. People like Hebrew. People like the way Hebrew is written. Most of the people that buy my Hebrew merchandise aren't Jewish.
That's,
you know, a lot of people are, but a lot of people also aren't. Like, and their reasons are like, oh, it looks so cool. Or like, I love that. Or there's, you know, my friend, you know, there's so many other reasons too. And honestly, ultimately for me, it's bringing Hebrew stuff. The challenges are like, I think in a double entendre. So for instance, thinking in double entendre with another language is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So like, let me see, what is an example? Like Tom is a name of a guy. And I have this line, it's like, Achshav ani lo gan, wait, Shalom ani ram, rami hamatan, kol hazman, yeshi balagan, Achshav ani gan gan, lo po velo kan kan. Like, Achshav ani gan gan, lo po, like gan is also a kindergarten, mm-hmm. but gan is like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm like, so.
Uh-huh, that's cool.
Like, Khan is like a con artist, but Khan is also here. Achshav ani gan gan, lo po is here. Velo kan kan, like, so it's just, you're like, wait, what does it make sense? But it's, so it's the, to a Hebrew is an interesting language with English. It's just because, you know, it's, and then mixing in something with Spanish, it just, I don't know. It just sounds, for me, it sounds and it flows really nice, but actually I've never even thought about this that way. So I guess there is the difficulty of it, but the beauty in it is that like the wordplay is really fun. If you're word playing as a rapper, and no one's doing that, and that's why one thing I like to do is because no one's doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you've come from a, you know, you've definitely had quite a journey to get where you are now. Do you have any advice for people who'd kind of want to go into the music industry, or just advice for young musicians to like follow their passion and like follow their dreams, or?
Are you asking me for like one of your friends or just in general?
I mean, just in general. I don't have any.
To tell my friend. No, but it's like, I'm like, no, don't do it. It's so hard.
Don't do it. You're saying?
I think, you know, it's sort of like doing music. It's sort of like someone trying to like convert to Judaism. They're like, no, don't do it. No, like you don't really want to do this. You know, and I keep telling them no. And the thing is, you have to be so dedicated to it, and you have to be able to withstand the months where you don't make income. And like, you know, what's your thing? Do you want to play music and teach music? Mm-hmm. Do you want to make a hit song? Do you want to like drive 3 hours to go to a studio for 1 hour from this guy that might be there, who knows somebody, who knows somebody, who has a friend whose father's like the label guy? You could play all these things. It really has to be within you that you're sort of a gung-ho person for this. For me, I love music, but I also love hustling. I love the fact, I love getting told no. So for me, I was sort of built for it. So if I have a new song and a new, you know, something that I really believe in, I mean, I love sending this song to people, and to me, it might be old, right? But mm-hmm. to you, it's new. So you're exactly. like, hey, I didn't know this existed. And I'm like, what do you mean you didn't know it existed? How dare you not know this about me? So many musicians, including myself, we suffer from all kinds of other emotional issues, unresolved things from our childhood. And mm-hmm. we bring this into our career and our adult relationships with people. And then you have to kind of leave that at the door. You know what I mean? Because in music, you could, and this is probably, you know, even the staff, you know, someone could do 99 great things, but if they do one wrong thing, they're going to get fired, you know, or they're going to get X'd out. And music could be really hard to come back to, unless you really, really, really love it. For me, I really, really love it. This has been in a very difficult year for musicians to live, just because there's no touring, and I figured out different ways to do it. But I'm also like a renegade person, and I really believe that I'm going to be able to adapt to any situation. And if I, and I think I'm getting better, and this is with, you know, over way over a decade of experience rapping. So you really, really have to do it so much. Like I'm talking 15 hour days, 10 hour, like, and it's nothing to you. I do just recommend to anyone that they should, whatever money you are making from a regular job, you probably have to funnel into your music, because it's the only industry where you spend thousands of dollars on your product to only get heard, you know, and every time someone streams it, it's like 0.00004 cents.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's so many more aspects to it. Like I have a merchandise line, I have this, I have education systems, I have, and I'm very, and I'm a one of one. There's not any other Koshy Dills. There's many MC this, or, you know, a lot of pop mm-hmm. singers, a lot of indie musicians. And you really have to think what makes you better than this, you know, than them. And it's very competitive. And after all that, if you could still say, yes, 100% I want to do it, then do it. But if not, it's a good hobby. But it's a very interesting career.
Good hobby, but an interesting career.
It's a great hobby, but a very interesting career, because it's hard to explain to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking from personal relationships to dating to how much you charge to, it's the only job where you charge much and everyone tells you you shouldn't charge that much. Although, you know, and you have to like work with it. So, yeah, I think I could go on and on, but I think that's the short answer. I really want to tell you that's a short answer.
No, yeah. So I have one final question for you, and it's kind of putting you on the spot a little bit. But if you'd be willing, would you mind doing a little bit of a freestyle for us right here, right now, in honor of the podcast and whatever, the weekly fetch, whatever's on your mind, just so we can hear a little sample, kind of.
Who should we shout out here? Who are we shouting out?
What do you think, Sophie?
Nate. For sure.
Nate. Yeah. Be a little surprised to him.
Okay. Okay. So we got Weekly Kvetch. Okay. We got Nate, Sophie.
Jake.
Jake, of course.
No, of course.
all right. Yeah. Yeah. I can whip something up.
All right. Cool.
I'll whip this up for you guys. Okay.
Perfect.
And this is not, I just want to let you guys know that I'm going to be driving while holding the phone, rapping with one hand.
Yeah,
I'm doing this for you guys.
Very skilled.
Yeah, okay. You do whatever.
Okay, cool. Ready? All right.
Yeah.
I speak so fresh when I beat your test, and people say you didn't even complain once on the weekly kvetch.
Hey.
Feeling so great, East Lansing, dinner on my plate at a big football game, rooting for Michigan State. It's East Lansing where I do the damn thing. You could ask Nate the Great what Jake actually thinks. And all my homies say they produce just as good as Sophie. When you drive with one hand and rap in the phone, you could never feel so lonely. I could build a house out of Adobe and draw with Crayola Crayolis. I'm talking crayons. This is a great song, my word life. You could use this to recruit kids on campus for birthright. I'm on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's the Hard Grace. Actually, excuse me, it's not the Turnpike. It's the Garden State Parkway. Going to the city to keep it straight, flyer. Not like Philadelphia, but I will be interviewing a Holocaust survivor. On an app called Clubhouse, you could join my club now. People say, Dills, I love the way you really bust out. You know I had to cook it when I'm looking for my flow. Not at dinner time, but when Michigan State is booking me for the show. So when we come back to normal, I'm a do it right before June, and if we can't do it before then, we could just do it on Zoom. I hope this is keeping it real, from New Jersey, New Jerusalem to Israel, from Michigan State, Hillel. I know you never heard it like this. This is me at my best with the freestyle, from yours truly, Koshy Dills on the Weekly Kvetch. There you go.
Hey.
Yes. Awesome. Hey. Wow. That was incredible. I loved it.
That was a good one. I got.
Thank you. Thank you.
You probably, I mean, myself.
Yeah, of course.
That was fun.
All right. And now we're going to move on to my favorite portion of the podcast, the bit where Jake rants about something. So, Jake, is there a Jewish holiday that's coming up in the near future, in the present or in the past? This will be in the past because when this comes out. Yes, there is. Other Jake. Thank you for asking. Pat on the forehead. It's Tu B'Shvat is coming up. And Tu B'Shvat, we talk about the trees. We love the trees. I remember when I was younger, we'd always have like birthday cakes in the shape of trees. And so the earth is important, right? But let's talk about the earth for 1 second, right? For every one nice tree, there's probably 1,000 disgusting trees. I love walking in the forest. I love looking at the trees. I like seeing the trees from far away and how they're nice and pretty and things. But I don't like seeing little friends that live inside the trees. Because when I walk up to trees, I say, hello, tree. I kiss the tree. I walk away. Right? Right. But when I walk up to tree, I say, hello, tree. And a gopher pops out. I go, oh, my goodness. Now I'm walking into his home. That'd be like if a giant gopher, ripped off the top of my house and went, hello, I'd probably freak out. So I'm not a fan of gophers. I don't remember where I was going with it. All right, trees. Yeah. Need to center myself. Trees are important. They give us oxygen. Without oxygen, we would be dead. But unfortunately, forests are gross. You know how many times I've gotten poison ivy in a forest? Zero, but I'm always terrified of it because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, you stray off from the path. There's the yellow brick road, and then there's the poison ivy road. And it's really easy to go down the poison ivy road. But the poison ivy road is full of poison ivy. And I remember growing up, I'd always go over to my friend's house, and he lived and there was like a giant like forest kind of thing behind him. We'd always play. And every time we'd play, somebody would get poison ivy. Never me, though, because I'm great at avoiding getting poison ivy. But somebody would always do it. And then he'd just be scratching, and he'd be covered from head to toe in a rash. And I'd be like, ew, gross. I don't want to get poison
David.
Ivy.
Ew, David.
What'd you say? Mutated.
Sorry, you can continue.
No. I'm a little all over the place today, but poison ivy, not a fan. I remember I went to the nature center when I was a kid. They let us try the mint leaves. That was pretty cool. Forests are cool then, because you can eat mint. That's very nice. You can also track deer prints, see who's come before. You can look at the little woolsies.
What about the maple trees with the maple syrup?
The maple tree and the maple syrup. Sophie and I, we went to the same elementary school. So we went on all the field trips together. but we did get to try the maple syrup, and we got to the nature center. Nature center is pretty baller. You should go to your local nature center. Call them up and say, yo, can I go and look at the deer and stuff? And they'd probably be like, yeah, go for it, man. And so, because it's nature. Nature's open to everybody except if it's closed. So, do you guys want to add anything else about nature or trees?
I would just like to add that here on the Weekly Kvetch, we love all trees.
Love
trees.
Yes.
But we also can acknowledge if some are gross.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I agree.
Go out there today, in honor of Tu B'Shvat, in honor of Jakey, go out there, find a tree that speaks to you, because sometimes they speak to you. What are they? Go up, put your ear to the tree. What's it saying? What does it want from you? Probably wants a kissy. Give the tree a little kissy. It's okay to be a little bit of a tree hugger today. Hug a tree. It's what your ancestors would have wanted. They would have wanted you out there wearing your Nikes, going out there with your Beats headphones and your Adidas backpack, going up there and making out with that tree. So in honor of Tu B'Shvat, in honor of the Weekly Kvetch, I give to you the gift of kissing a tree. So go kiss a tree in honor of Jake. This really wasn't a rant. This is more of kind of like a nonchalant discourse about trees and gophers. So thank you. It's always a pleasure. All right. And now we're going to hear our 20-second Torah portion. So take it away.
It's time for 20-second Torah.
Hi everyone, producer Nate here with 20 Second Torah. This week's Torah portion is Bishalach, and it's our classic portion of the Israelites led by Moses running from Pharaoh. And as they come to the Red Sea, they're sort of trapped between the water and Pharaoh's army. And all of a sudden, as God tells Moses, raise your staff, the sea splits in half, and the Israelites are able to run from Pharaoh. And this is one of the classic stories of the Torah. We all know it from Rugrats, or even hearing about it in Hebrew school. It's a fantastic, fantastic story of not only persevering, but also understanding that even when you're running from something, there's a solution. There's another option. So think to yourself with this portion, Bishalach,
not only don't worry necessarily about what are you running from, but think about what's on the other side. What can you get to? And that's 20-second Torah.
Thank you for that 20-second Torah. It was beautiful as always. All right, and now we're going to move on to our final portion of the podcast, Nate's favorite part, the L'chaim of the week. So now what we're going to do, if you're unfamiliar with it, we're going to give a toast to something in the coming week that we're looking forward to, something in the coming week that we want to give a shout out to, something in the past week, something that's going to happen in the next couple of days. So I'll go first. Today is, what is the date? What is the weekend? Is it almost February? February is coming up. That's exciting. I'm going to give a quick shout out to February. It's a fun month. Valentine's Day, very exciting. There are lots of fun things that are going to be happening. I'm going to, this weekend, I'm just going to relax and I'm going to watch Criminal Minds probably. And so that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. Criminal Minds in February. And then what about you, Sophie?
Oh, I never think of these beforehand.
Me neither.
Such an issue. I remember what I was going to say.
Oh, good.
My L'chaim of the week, it's actually kind of, you know, this week and like the past couple of weeks or whatever, but I've been getting a lot of design opportunities from other people besides like class and internships and stuff. So it's fun to do that. It keeps me busy.
That is fun. That's exciting. And what about you, Nate?
Here we go. My L'chaim of the week is sunshine. So for those of you who don't know, in Michigan, there was a massive snowstorm yesterday on Tuesday, January 26th. So much so that my place of work, MSU Hillel, was closed and we worked from home. So AKA a snow day. Magically, now all of the snow is just like dumped on us and the roads were terrible for like a hot minute. Now the sun is out and all the snow is melting. And that, you know what we'll call that? We'll call that a season of love. So it's almost February, but the season of love is when the 525,600 minutes.
Musical theater is on.
Join the weekly
Kvetch
a cappella. Yeah. Anyway, the sun is out, the snow is melting. I love the sun, so I am so thankful. And if it was just a little bit warmer, this would be my perfect day because I could wear shorts. And then
perfect.
A sweatshirt. Everyone, if you'd like to join Sophie's a cappella group, she is ready.
She's ready. Thank you for coming on the podcast today, Coach Adil. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you. Before we let you go, though, do you want to drop your socials and where people can listen to your music? Or
yeah. Okay. Cool. So my socials, everything is Kosha Dills, KOSHADILLZ. If you're on TikTok, I'm Kosha Dills 826. That's my birthday. Mm-hmm. I want to give a big shout out to the Spartans at Michigan State. You guys, for my nonprofit work, Value Culture is a cool nonprofit I work with. My new music video, which is way more fun, is the 10 Bagel Commandments. See it? It's a big thing. Going off right now in New York City, and where I rap about bagels, and koshidillsworld.com, and my new album, if you want to follow me on Spotify or Apple Music, it's called Nobody Cares Except You. It came out a few months ago. It is my deep, heartfelt work. I love it. It's been my greatest work so far. Nobody cares except you, which is a true statement for the weekly kvetch, because nobody does care except you guys. And just grateful to have me on, and look forward to doing this in person. So support your local musician and support the kvetch if you're listening.
Awesome. Well, thank you for stopping by and letting us talk to you for a little bit. It's been an absolute pleasure. We are the weekly kvetch. Thank you. See you next week.
And that's our show. Thanks for kvetching with us this week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review and call a friend to tell them you love them. The Weekly Kvetch is hosted by me, Jake Rubin, and our executive producers are Sophie Dwoskin and Nate Strauss. This podcast is a production of MSU Hillel. Yalla bye, my friends.
Theme music produced by Peter Cooley.